This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello. Yeah, Jim, here we are.
And sometimes it seems like a long time ago, and yet it really wasn't that long ago that we had our dinner here at Catholic Radio. And we just can't thank everybody enough for showing up. We have gotten all of the figures and numbers and everything together, and it was our most successful dinner ever as far as a fundraiser. So thank you very much for that. It was the second best attended one we ever had, best silent auction we ever had. I think most fun we ever had, and that's what counts.
Yeah, it was fun. We had cake, too. That was great.
Yeah, and they sang Happy Birthday to me.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, because we celebrated 15 years of Catholic Radio, but we also, it was really close to Jim's birthday, too, like the day after, right?
It was the station's 15th anniversary. Unfortunately, we didn't talk about what birthday it might be for me.
But 15, right?
Right, a couple times over. But thank you, everybody. Thank you to all the volunteers that made that happen. The businesses that stepped up, Franciscan Health, Marian University, GEMCO Constructors for helping underwrite that. Thank you all very much, and thank you to everybody who came and made the event such a big success.
Well, today we're going to be talking with Father Patrick Bykauskas, and he is a OP, right? Pastor of St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church at Purdue University, also commonly known as St. Tom. So, and we're also going to be talking about him being a missionary of mercy. So welcome to Faith in Action, Father Patrick.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Now, you are a Dominican priest. The initials after a priest's name sometimes confuse even the veteran Catholics, but you have OP.
Yeah, shouldn't it be like D?
Right.
D for Divinity, MD, MDiv, or whatever?
Yes, and all of the degrees as well. OP is our official name for Dominicans. We are the Order of Preachers. And so Dominicans is kind of our nickname, the same as it is for Franciscans. There's various congregations of Franciscans, but when they started, and St. Francis and St. Dominic were contemporaries of one another. The orders were founded within 2 years of each other in 1213 and 1216, 3 years, I guess. And the Franciscans are officially OFM, but they also have some variations on that. But when Francis founded them, their initials were OFM, Order of Friars Minor, and we're Order of Preachers, both mendicant orders, meaning that we have as a very basic part of our formation process that we live poverty, and we are to ask others to support us in our ministry, as any of the other mendicant orders. Mm-hmm. So, preaching is an absolutely essential part of our life, and we put a great deal of effort in our training. Someone just asked me the other day, "How is our formation program different than, say, a diocesan priest?" And there's several different things, but one of them is in our studies. We have more courses that we take in what's called homiletics, in the art of preaching. Mm-hmm. And then as Dominicans, because St. Thomas Aquinas, after Dominic, is probably our most famous brother in the order, the theology and philosophy of St. Thomas Aquinas is a very important part of our formation. So we take several courses just in Thomistic thought, as Dominicans.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so that's really appropriate that you're at St. Thomas Aquinas parish, you know, that's really super awesome.
It was the work of the Holy Spirit. Of course, it is a diocesan institution, but I think the Dominicans were always meant to be there. And so it might have taken a little while, but we've gotten here, and hopefully we're going to stay here for a long, long time. Good.
Is it unusual for a Dominican to be pastor of a parish within a diocese as opposed to a diocesan priest?
Well, no, it's not unusual. Certainly most of the priests here are. You know, what's more unusual any longer, Jim, is that both Dominic and Francis didn't really envision that their friars and their successors would own parishes. And certainly that is the case. I mean, I don't think that either of them ever had any idea that we would own the sorts of things that we do. Now, we don't have very many. We have a parish in Chicago and one in Minneapolis and one in Denver. That's just my province that we own. But we serve in diocesan parishes throughout our province. And our province goes from Indiana, it's the easternmost point, to Denver, Colorado, which is our westernmost point. Mostly if we're in a parish setting, it would be in a diocesan setting. So we do that with, of course, the permission of the bishop. Bishop Higgy, Bishop Emeritus Higgy now, he invited us back in 2000, late 1990s. We took over in 2000 to come here because they didn't have enough men to adequately serve a parish of this size, and they asked us and we committed to always having at a minimum three friars here, and I really think it takes that number to do the work that needs to be done at a parish the size of this. And we are a parish. So we started out as a Newman Club, one of the oldest in the United States. We started out as a Newman Club in 1905, and then we became a parish in like the early 1960s, I would say. So, the Europeans don't even understand that we have things like this, that we have campus ministries, because in Europe, most of them are just chaplains. They just do sacramental work. They don't do the sorts of things that we do. Newman Clubs were specifically designed to be a Catholic presence at secular universities, and so we operated as chaplains until the early 1960s. And then we became a parish. So we have parish boundaries, and we have. It's one of the wonderful things about St. Thomas Aquinas is that we have resident parishioners and student parishioners as part of our congregation that come together and nourish one another in our faith.
That's really awesome. It's a really cool dynamic. We're talking with Father Patrick Bykauskas. He is the pastor of St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church at Purdue University, also commonly known as St. Thomas. Well, are you from Indiana? Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe what your vocation story is, how you got into the priesthood.
Do you know where Crown Point is?
I do.
Yep.
So if you go straight west from Crown Point, the very first town that you hit on the Illinois side is Crete, Illinois, like the island.
Okay.
And that's where I'm from. So I'm no longer there, so now I'm an excretion. I've used that joke before, too. I'm a late vocation, or delayed vocation, second vocation. I like mature vocation the best. I worked in government and politics for a good part of my life. I've been in the order now for 18 years, but for over 25 years, I was in the political side of governmental work. Again, I joke, I worked for three Illinois governors, and only one of them ended up in prison.
Hey.
Really good odds.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, in Illinois, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. But I also worked for an Illinois congressman, and I was honored as well to work for a president of the United States before I experienced a call to religious life when I was living in Chicago and working for the third governor that I had worked for in my career. So a kind of a long career in that respect in politics, really. And I ran for office a couple times, and then. Finally, and I experienced the call to religious three times. Once when I was in eighth grade, and my best friend and I both wanted to enter seminary, and we were both the products of Italian mothers. And my mother said, "No way, that's for the Irish boys, not for the Italians." So I didn't go because, of course, you had to go you had to have your parents give you permission to go into minor seminary, and so it wasn't the right time for me either. But then when I was in my early 30s, I experienced a call again. I was living in Washington, D.C., and I resisted, and I think God just had other plans. He wanted me to get my mind clear about what I really needed to do, and I ended up running for office a couple times, and I think I needed to get that behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was always that idea that maybe I could serve, and I did. I must say, when I felt called to run for office too, that it was something that I felt important. But, you know, I had a lot of friends that thought I was too idealistic, and maybe they were right. I had certain principles that I insisted on in running for office, and I didn't prevail. But I do think that, you know, it's the way that God works, and
it was part of the journey, right?
Yes, it was absolutely part of the journey, and I think that there's skills that I gained in public speaking, and of course, you know, and I have parishioners that sometimes say, "Oh, Father, you're too political," and I said, "No, that's you can't say anybody's too political." But that, and in fact, our bishop wrote a lovely letter in the Catholic Moment a couple of years ago, telling us that we all have to be political, and I totally subscribe to that. They're never going to hear me say anything about partisan politics, but being political means that we're involved in the public life of our people.
Yeah.
And we have to be concerned about things like education and health care and what a government is obliged to provide and how they respond to the needs of our people who are, as we see in Matthew 25, the sick and the hungry and the naked and those in prison. Those are things we have to be involved in, and we have to speak out on those things. So, yes, we're supposed to be political, but no, I'm not supposed to be partisan. And I'm very knowledgeable about those distinctions, and I'm very careful about it.
Well, that's great.
But, yeah, I do think it helped.
We may come back to you for some topics, you know, of political topics from a Catholic perspective. So we might be reaching back out to you. But I want to talk a little bit about college students and how many that you have, and college students really are in a unique time and situation in their life. I'm curious, is it more difficult or easier to reach this group, and what are some of the ways that you've found to be successful?
Well, it's easier in the way that, you know, their proximity, their just physical proximity is so close to us. But I think that one of the real issues that we have to be sensitive to, Bridget, is that we can be lazy. And I'm going to put this on the church and on priests sometimes, because of the way that our Catholic population responds, that we can, so I don't know if you've ever been to Purdue, but so you know, we sit practically in the middle of the campus.
Yeah.
We are a big church. You know, until the churches that are now in, you know, like in Fishers and Carmel were built, this church was the largest physical church in the diocese for about 20 years. And so we seat 1,000 people. We have a big presence. Bridget, we don't have to do anything at all, and we'll get a pretty good crowd on Sundays just because Catholics are the way they are, and we've got 13,000 Catholic students across the street.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
You can. It is a lot, but it just makes it more incumbent upon us to do the work that we need to do to make sure that they're coming here and feeling nourished and getting engaged in their faith at a very crucial time in their life. So you might have your priests come in and do campus ministry, and they're just going to sit here in the church, and they know that Catholics, because of the way they're trained and the way they're it's ingrained in them, they've got to go to church on Sunday. And you'll get a goodly number here, but you know, and I use that 13,000 number a lot. I somewhat joke. I said, you know, we've got more Catholics here than at Notre Dame, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I've called us the biggest Catholic university in Indiana. The Domers get upset when I say that sometimes, but you know, it's only because I want people to understand that our being Catholic on a public university campus and our being present in a big way is important to us. So I tell the Domers, I just said, you know, and they're people that have a strong connection to Purdue, or they live here in the Diocese of Lafayette. I said, you should be proud that we have developed such a strong Catholic identity here at Purdue that people would say something like that.
Yeah.
That we have this great, that we have another Catholic school in Indiana. You know, and we're blessed too. And I want to make a call, you know, shout out to Mitch Daniels. here's a guy, you know, when he first got here, somebody said, oh, I didn't know that he's Catholic. I said, he's not Catholic. He's Presbyterian. But he gets it.
Yep.
He says, you know, Father, I go, well, I love going by St. Thomas, and I see any time of the day or night people coming in and out of that church. He said, I am so proud of you and proud of all the work that you're doing. He's not talking about me personally, but what we're doing here at St. Thomas and in engaging our students, because there's lots of studies that will tell you, if a student is engaged in their faith, they have a far higher chance of persevering in university settings. Purdue has the highest dropout rate in the Big Ten because it's a tough school.
Mm-hmm.
But we can turn that around. If their students are involved in their faith community here and they have one another to support each other. So we've got 31 different ministries that are, that we offer our students to draw them in to our ministry. But then that's just the start of the work. So, you know, we know we've got, we for example, some of the non sort of religious thing that we do. We are involved in Purdue's intramural sport program. We have teams that we field in every single sport that they offer at Purdue. We have teams, and in fact, like the intramural sports are just starting next week. We have six volleyball teams, six Catholic volleyball teams.
Oh, wow!
Now, our students, and you know, the thing that really warms my heart is that I didn't have to like indoctrinate them to say, you know, this is what you're going to do when you go out in that field. Mm-hmm. All we say is, you know, this is what's important. People need to know that you're Catholic, and how are they going to know that? It's by the way you conduct yourself on that field. So they know that it's not, you know, they're not going to be swearing. They're not going to be fighting with one another. They're not going to be, you know, complaining to the refs. They're going to be good, moral, Catholic examples of athletes as well. And they pray before their games. They pray after their games. They always invite the opposing team to pray with them if they want. They make me so proud, and you know what? And we're pretty darn good too. Every year we have a few champions, whether it's in volleyball or dodgeball, ultimate frisbee, football, tag football. It's just all the things that we offer. Those are ways that we get students to start. You know, maybe they're not the kind of person that wants to go to Bible study or go on our mission trips or go on our retreats, although we encourage them to do all those things. People are going to engage their faith in lots of different ways, but if they're going to play on our team, it's not just about playing on the team. The same thing when we go on a mission trip.
Well, we have so much to get to, Father, but we got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll get more. I'm super excited. We're going to run out of time, but we'll come back for more Faith in Action, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa. Play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. And Father, before the break, we were talking about all of the activities that the Catholic students are involved in. And it almost sounded like, gee, everybody goes to college and really wants their Catholic faith to grow and prosper and everything like that. But that isn't always the case. Some people go to college starting out as Catholic and wander away. What do you do for those folks?
Well, I think that we have to absolutely rely on our own students to be the leaven. Although we have a big staff, we have 15 full-time permanent people on staff. We have 12, I think we're going to add another one, 13 or 14 paid interns. Even though that's, and we're blessed that we have the resources to be able to have that kind of staff, and you had Grant Freeman on not too long ago.
Yeah.
He's an example of how important it is as pastor, and how important it's been for me to be able to have somebody like Grant, who's a married man with four children, with one on the way, and we've got another couple of dads here on camp on staff, and married women as well, that they can support their families and work for the church. That's a very, very important thing for us to be able to do. And yet, with all that the resources we have, we can't possibly touch the 13,000. And also, I want to say, by the way, we have 1,100 families as parents here. That we can't possibly engage all of them without the help of the people that we have here at the parish. So we have something called Ignite, which is a residence hall based program.
Mm-hmm.
There's 19 of them, and they meet almost every night of the week. And it's all lectionary based. So they get together in small faith communities, and they discuss the readings for the upcoming Sunday. And it's because what we found is so valuable and so important using the model is that, again, the Mass comes alive for them in a different way. When they walk into church and they've never heard of God, really, they sit down and they are sort of just being a spectator instead of really fully participating. When they hear and think about how this gospel reading is engaging them in their faith and influencing their life, that's when the Mass really means something different and something very, very powerful for them in leading in giving them the decisions that they can lead a life as a Catholic Christian.
That's really awesome. I got to ask you a couple other questions because we're running out of time. We only have about 4 minutes left. So I do want to ask you, you were named by Pope Francis to be one of 125 missionaries of mercy. What is that, and how does that change maybe your how does that animate you as a priest there at St. Thomas?
Yes, so 125 in the United States. There's 1,000 throughout the world. Reconciliation is an important thing that we do here. And I was as a Dominican, it's a very important sacrament that has long been a part of our church. I think that one of the things that the Pope Francis, I know what I met with him twice again in the spring, is that we come under the dicastery for the new evangelization. He wants the sacrament of reconciliation to be a way that we are going to draw people back into the church, most especially back into the church. So when we say there's 3,000 students that we have, so we have 13,000, 3,000 regularly. That means a lot that we're not seeing regularly. And one of the ways that I think absolutely on target here, and that my experience has been as a missionary of mercy, is that people who've been away for a long time, we want them to experience God's mercy and his extraordinary love for us that we're never going to fully be with him in heaven. And so we went from, when I became pastor, we offered confessions once a week at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. Oh, for crying out loud. And then we complain that nobody's come to confession. Well, we're not showing that it's important.
Yeah.
So we started out doing it once a day, every day, and now we do it twice a day, every day, three times on Sunday. And you can't say, well, they can do it by appointment, because most people aren't going to do that.
Right.
They want the priest, and so we've done that. And I think it's one of the things that you'll hear students say, and how grateful they are. Now, by the time this airs, we're starting something tomorrow called Confessions on the Go Cart. We got a golf cart. We just had it delivered a couple days ago, and we're going to take that on campus, me or one of the other priests, and we're going to offer confessions in the middle of the campus. We're going to have a go cart traveling around, and a way also to promote the sacraments, to let people know that you can go into the church as well. But whatever we can do to help people understand that the things that are available here, and to make it fun and let people know. I had a student one time, and she was a Protestant student. She came to one of our Sunday night dinners, and she said to me before dinner, she says, "Father, I never knew Catholics were so much fun." Because we've got 150 students. They're all having a great time and so excited because that's what Jesus calls us called us to do in sharing in food fellowship. Do you know that girl became a Catholic?
That's so awesome.
There's all kinds of ways to evangelize. It could be on the volleyball court. It could be in the dining court. It can also be in the residence halls. It can be on the campus when they see us driving around that golf cart offering concessions. There's all kinds of ways. We are called to engage people in their faith. And, you know, I'm very honored to be a missionary of mercy, but it's just all about how are we making these sacraments available to people and showing them that it is an important way that we have as Catholics to live out our life. And the sacraments do such a wonderful job in nourishing us and giving us the strength that we need.
Now, Father, does the golf cart have a little, like, house built on it with a little curtain on one side, or...?
Well, you know, I think, no, it looks just like an ordinary golf cart, you know, but I think I'm going to attach a curtain that I can pull between me and the passenger offer that, too.
I can't believe we're almost out of time, but before we go, could you give our listening audience a blessing?
Yes, and by the way, on your 15th anniversary. Dear Lord, good and gracious God, giver of all good things, we give great thanks for all the many resources that you've provided us to grow and live in our faith. For all those listening to Catholic Radio, that they be touched and nourished in special ways and educated in how we can live out our faith and share our faith, the thing that we are most importantly called to do, to repent, believe in the gospel, and to share that good news with our Lord and all the people that we come into contact with. So may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord stay and shine upon us and give us his peace. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And people can get more information at
BoilerCatholics.org.
All right. And thank you so much, Father Patrick, for being our guest today on Faith in Action. You're certainly go-karting confession, right?
Yes. Confessions on the go-kart.
Confessions on the go-kart. Well, we're going to have to, you might have to do a live remote or something there to promote that. That's pretty
great.
Cool.
That would be great.
Well, thanks.
God bless you.
Thanks again, Father. God bless you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.